You who sits high and looks low. Through time, through space, through eternity, and into our present world, and even into our present circumstances. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Behold both the good and the evil of all men. And so, Father, we come to you now. It's time for a word from God. We turn our attention and our focus toward the Holy Mount of Zion. We come to you because we have finally lived long enough to realize that thou alone has the words of eternal life. Where shall we go and to whom shall we turn? So we have purposed in our heart, we have made it a focus of our mind that we would come to the house of the Lord and congregate among the people of the Lord, that we might hear a word from the Lord. So satisfy us this morning with the milk and meat of your word. Cause us to hear, eat, and obey. And in the process, be strengthened thereby. God, I thank you for the men that you have called out. I thank you for the men that you have assigned to this house. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their love, their concern. Thank you for them being present, accountable, and on the front line for Christ. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. So bless us now. If you bless us, we'll make it a part of our agenda to bless you in return, to give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. If you have your Bibles, we're going to the Gospel of St. John, the very first chapter. I'll invite you to turn there with me. If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth chapter of the New Testament, the very first chapter. Our primary text is going to be verses 35 through 42. We're going to add to the witness out of that same gospel, out of chapter 6, verse 5, and also out of chapter 12, verse 20. The Gospel of St. John invites you to turn there with me. Chapter 1, verse 35. Chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 12, verse 20. Amen. If you haven't, I am going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to ask that you follow along. Anyone in need of a Bible? Everybody in good shape? Because I want to make sure everyone sees and reads this. Anyone in need of a Bible? Hands are up. Thank God for our ushers. Thank God for John Mitchell. Come on, let's thank God for our ushers, John Mitchell, and our sister Shauna. Amen. I'm going to ask you to follow along as I read it in your hearing as we all stand for the word of God. It says, again, on the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Why don't you come and see?" And they came and they saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. And at that time, it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah, and you shall be called Cephas," which means a stone. Amen? John 6, I'm going to ask that you turn there, John 6, 5. Familiar passage. This is right in the middle of the feeding of the 5,000. If you're there, John 6 and 5, thank God for the brothers coming in. Thank God for your attendance. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And so Philip answered him, and he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for this large crowd, that every one of them may even get a little. And so one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said this. He said, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Amen. And then our last and final verse, verses John 12, 20 through 22. Again, familiar passage. It says, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we would like to see Jesus.' And Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus." Amen? That's the word of the Lord for us. And again, I'm just going to speak from the subject. We need more men like Andrew. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. One of the interesting things in our primary text, John 1:35, you begin to read about Christ calling his disciples, and you see here the coming of Andrew, also with an unnamed disciple who theologians say is in fact the beloved disciple John himself, along with Andrew and Simon Peter. But I want to draw your attention to verse 40. It says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." And it's interesting, anytime you see that type of usage and name association where you name one person, but you identify them by pointing to someone else. And you do that because the other person is often more popular, more familiar. I may not know Andrew, but I do know Peter. And how could we not know Peter? One, at the time of this writing, this is after the resurrection of Christ. This is John's letter to the church. And so it's after the death, it's after the crucifixion, it's after the resurrection has occurred. It could even be after the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so by this time, at the time of the writing of this letter, Peter is well known. I would go so far as to say Peter was very popular by this point because it was Peter, as the New Testament indicates. First thing we understand about Peter is that he was a fisherman and that he ran a fish exploration company. He was a very successful businessman. And how many of you know businessmen are popular? Businessmen are popular because they what? They provide jobs. Businessmen are popular because they provide economic stability into the communities in which they live and serve. Amen. And let's take a moment out. Let's just give a brief round of applause to all the men in our church who are business owners. Come on, let's thank God for them. Assuming the risk, assuming the burden, providing jobs, open up opportunities. And so businessmen are well known. Simon Peter was well known even before his conversion to Christ. Not only that, the New Testament tells us that Peter was one of the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus. We see in this text, not only was he one of the 12, he was one of the first to be chosen. Peter played an important part. He had a leadership role among the disciples. Any time you read the Gospels and you read about the disciples, Peter was always the spokesman. It was always Peter who stood up. It was always Peter who said something. It was always Peter who took the first move. And so because of that, he was well known. Not only did he have a leadership role, he was also a part of Jesus' inner circle. As you read the Gospel of Counts, there are often stories detailed in there where it says Jesus took Peter, James, and John. He didn't take the whole 12. He didn't take the 70. He didn't take the masses. But often for private time, private study, private information, he took a handful, just three guys, and among them was Peter. As a result, he was well known. According to the Gospels, it was Peter who confessed among the disciples that Jesus Christ was, in fact, the Messiah. In spite of all his great heroics, it was also Peter who denied him three times. And the sad thing about his denial, he did it in a way that we often do it. We often talk about the stuff we would never do. Oh, I'd never do that. I'd never say that. Oh, I would never go there. Oh, I would never fall into that kind of situation. That's exactly what Peter said. He said, Lord, I never deny you. I'll be with you till the very end. If you go down, I'm going down with you because I will be with you. Christ looked at him and said, before the night is over, not only will you have broken your own words, but you will have done it three times. And so Peter was well known for being a failure in spite of his success. But that's part of his notoriety. And it was that same Peter who now Christ, after his resurrection, reinstates him to the fellowship, and not only reinstates him, but chooses him to be his very first pastor, handpicked by Christ himself. It was Peter who preached the inaugural message on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter who went and stood along with John in the council of the Sanhedrin and defended the gospel. It was Peter who the angels let out miraculously out of a prison cell. It was Peter who took the gospel down to Cornelius and opened up the church from being Jews only, but to including Gentiles and other non-Hebrew speaking people. Peter was well known. So I understand why John, in his writing of his letter, said this guy who followed Jesus, his name was Andrew, but you may not recognize him, but you'll recognize his brother. He was the brother of Simon Peter. Now, where am I going with all of this? Is I want you to see what happens in this text. We all know Peter because of Andrew. No Andrew, no Peter. Look what the text says there in verse 40 into 41. And it said that one of the two that was with him that followed him, it was Andrew, and he was Simon's Peter brother. Verse 41 said, he first found his own brother, Simon, had a conversation with him and said, we have found the Messiah. Here, let me shortchange it, the Messiah, to help us. The Messiah is the answer. He was the answer to the Jewish faith. He was the answer to the hope of all the sick and the lost. So he said, he simply came and he said, guess what, brother? We found the answer. And then this is what I like about him. After he found them, verse 42 says what? He brought him to Jesus. He found him, took the word back, took the message back, and he had a conversation with him long enough, watch this man, to persuade him to follow him. You follow what I'm saying? He went and found his brother, because his brother wasn't there, out fishing, out doing whatever, had a conversation, said, look, guy, I found the answer. What do you mean the answer? However the conversation went, he stayed in it long enough until Peter was convinced to follow him. Not follow Jesus, follow Andrew. He said, look, I'll get good enough. He said, come with me, I'm going to introduce you to him. And the text says he what? He brought him to Jesus. Andrew becomes the first in a long line of successors who have discovered that the most common and most effective Christian testimony is the private witness of a friend to a friend or a brother to a brother. Are you with me? The most effective. And I know we live in an age of Facebook and websites and the best way to lead someone to Christ is through a one-on-one conversation. And you do it the way Andrew did it. Tell him, say, look, I found the answer. Most men will not admit it, but all of us, as men, we're looking for the answer. And we're actually fooled in our younger days, in the younger part of our life. We, like Iverson, assume we are the answer. But that's the foolish wisdom of being young. You got to live long enough to realize you're not always going to jump that high. You're not always going to be the main attraction. You're not always going to be the talk of the town. You're not always going to be the one people come to for answers. You're not, listen, men, you're not always going to be the man. The days of being the BMOC are short-lived. You live long enough, you'll realize it. Your body will tell you you're no longer the man. Your hair will tell you you're no longer the man. It'll tell on you. You may think it, you may wish it, but your body will tell it you're not the man. Your family will begin to tell you you're not the man. Your career will be, there was a time your career was skyrocketing, but you hit a point and it slows down. Why? Because you're no longer the man. And we're back to what? Looking for the answer. And Andrew said, I found it. I found the answer. And his name is Christ Jesus. And he brought Simon Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And so, as we said with our tagline to this message, we need more men like Andrew. Because in that first passage, Andrew does what? He brings his brother to Christ. Come on, let's look at John 6, familiar passage again, the feeding of the 5,000. You know this story, so I'm not really here to rehearse the miracle, but I just want to point out something interesting about Andrew. Here they are, masses of people have come to follow Jesus. The 5,000 is just the counting of men, not the totality. There were women and children in the crowd. Some theologians estimate the crowd could have been as large as 20,000 plus. And here they are, they're outside of the city, they've come to hear Jesus. Jesus has been preaching, and I don't know if you realize it, Jesus was not a short preacher. He was not a short preacher. We need more men like Andrew. That's what we need, more men like Andrew. So here they are, they're out, they're hungry. The Jesus is wrapping up his sermon, and now the hunger sits in, the people, oh, they're hungry, what are we going to do? Philip steps up and said, look, all we got in the treasury is 200 denarii. That's about 6 to 8 months worth of wages. He said, even with all of that, we can't feed all of these people. And then Andrew says, there is a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So in John 1, Andrew brings his brother. In John 6, Andrew brings a young boy. And through the vehicle of his lunch, he introduces him, watch this, to the same Messiah. The same Messiah that he had to convince his brother Simon Peter about, now to this young guy, through the vehicle of his lunch, he introduces him also to the same Messiah. Now, the story doesn't share any details regarding the young boy after the miracle, but I will say this. I believe that young man's life was changed forever. being a conduit that God used to perform one of the greatest miracles in biblical history. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels, whether you read it out of Matthew, whether you read it out of Mark or Luke or John. It's in there. And so the story of this young man is in all the Bible, read many Sundays, many times throughout the year, and all of it was made possible by a guy named Andrew. Chapter 1, he brings his brother. Chapter 2, he introduces a young man to Jesus Christ. Turn our attention to chapter 12. Familiar passage. He's coming in to the city. Just previously, they're singing and shouting, Hosanna. It is the feast of the Passover. And we find this passage here. The hour is coming for Christ. And he said, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. It's the feast of the Passover. Many Jews and many proselytes, those converted to Judaism, have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And among them were not only Jews, but there were a handful of Greeks. Let me help you with Greeks and how that relates to us contemporarily. Greeks mean they were different than them. That's all it means. All of these guys were Jewish-born, Hebrew-speaking, kosher-eating Jews. They grew up going to the temple. They grew up eating the unleavened bread. They grew up going up to Jerusalem three times every year. That's all they knew. All these boys knew was temple worship in the Jewish custom. That's all they knew. And now the text says, now here comes these Greeks, meaning one, they were from out of town. Greek meaning they weren't Hebrew. That means they didn't speak Hebrew. They didn't act Hebrew. They didn't keep Hebrew customs, but yet they what? Wanted to meet Jesus. And what I love about this story, and you got it there, it's just a few verses. You know it. I don't need to work it out. These Greeks come. They come up for the feast. They say to Philip, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came, told Andrew, and Andrew in turn, along with Philip, told Jesus. Dig this, man. Dig this, man, because we're guilty of this, and I love Andrew for it. I love men who don't block. Can I tell you, as men, we all want to be the man. All of us want to be the BMOC. And sometimes we can want to be the man so much we'll block people from getting to someone else. Why? Because we want them to what? Come to us. We want to be the man. We want people to ask us for advice. We want people to come and ask us for help. But what happens when people start looking past us and looking over us, when they begin to realize, like us, we're not the answer? Bro, I asked you last year for help, and you still haven't helped me. But someone told me there's a guy called Jesus. Simon told me about him, and he helped Simon. Philip told me about him and said when he got in touch with him, he blessed him. And now a guy named Andrew, who I actually came to him, and he could have blocked me. He could have said, no, Jesus is too busy. No, you can't. No, not today. Not today. Jesus just got finished preaching. You're not seeing Jesus today. No, you tell me. What you tell me, I'll work it out. I'll take it to him. What I love about Andrew, he didn't block. These guys came. They said, I don't want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see Jesus. They got together and said, come on. We'll get you in right now. If he makes himself available, we won't block you because you're different from us. Why do you want to see Jesus? You don't look like us. You don't speak Hebrew. This is the first time I've ever seen you at the past. Why do you want to talk to him? They didn't ask. They just said, come on. If you want to see Jesus, we won't deny you the access. And so we see in the story of Andrew, one, he brings his brother. We see in the feeding of the 5,000, Andrew brings young men, boys, to Jesus. We see in Andrew in chapter 12, Andrew is the kind of man that does not prevent anyone from accessing Jesus, even if it means stepping over them, even if they have to play a lesser role. Philip and Andrew said, we won't block you. If you came to see Jesus, we're going to make it possible. We're going to make the way so that you can have access to the answer. And so to the men, I'll say it to the women too, but my message is for the men. The reality is what? We need more men. If you were to summarize the life of Andrew in the Gospels, they just give just a handful of accounts. I've read the majority of them. There are a few more in the Synoptic Gospels. But if you were to summarize Andrew's life, I would say all he did was bring men to Jesus. Am I right about it? We just looked at, this is the bulk of what the text says about Andrew. And every account, every issue we point out, is always Andrew bringing somebody to Jesus. So I say to you again, we need more men. Like, imagine if we as men brought other men to the church. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to be on the record. I've heard this comment more than two dozen times. People come in our fellowship, and they say, you know what? I really liked about the church. I really liked that you had so many men in church. Now, as men, we're not the majority. There are more women in our church, as it is in majority of churches, but we have more men than most churches have from a percentage standpoint. And the only reason we have men in church is because we have men like Andrew. Men who bring other men to church. Men who are willing to witness, share. Men who are willing not to block, but say, if you want access to Jesus, I'll take you. I'll lead you right there now. You can know him now. And so, in closing, my message is over. In closing, I would like to issue a challenge to all men. Come on, Rat, hand out my paper. And I want this paper to go to all men. I want it to go to all of our teenage men, our young men. I want all of our men to get this paper in your hand. Because as you've seen, we've done with other things, and as men, we respond to a challenge. If we would have never asked for the $50, we would have never gotten it. But the moment you challenge men, they respond. Had we not asked for any of the hard items, the food, the items we needed for VBS, we would have never gotten them. But the moment you challenge men, we what? We respond. And so after hearing an overview of the life of Andrew, I want to challenge all men. I want to challenge all men. John Mitchell gets one. Hey, how many do we have left? Come on, Rat, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Do we have any left? Do we have any left? Do we have any extra? I'm just curious. Do we either do or we don't? Do we have any left, Rat? Everyone's gonna. Because what I'm going to do, we'll read it, but I want to make sure Anita Macy gets one. That's for my man Mace. Aquila, do you have one? Did you get a paper? Did you get one to Aquila? Because I want her to get one for my man Quentin. Who? We need one. We got one for Khalil. Jewel, good. Good. Because there are some men that are not here, but I want them to get this too. Okay. No, we're good. Everybody got it? So for those of us who have husbands or sons that are not here, I'm going to send it to our wives and mothers so that we can get home. Okay, let's turn your attention to it and John has it up on the slide for everyone to see, but for the men, you've got the paper. So here's the challenge. The challenge is what? To become a man like Andrew. Pastor, how do I become a man like Andrew? One, I need you to begin praying today and ask Jesus to identify men in your life that he would like for you to bring to him. You with me? You reading that on the paper, men? That's the first thing. Number two, after you have prayed about it, because I need you to be led of the Spirit, I need you to identify or pick a man, young, old, a man different than you, background, whatever. Pick a man, and I want you to bring him to church at least 3 times between now and the end of the year. Pray about it first. Who is he, Lord? Once you've identified, you've got to do the work like Andrew. You've got to go and you've got to persuade them not to come once, 3 times by the end of this year. We got 6 months to bring one guy, just the one guy, and it needs to be the same guy. This is not 3 different guys. The same guy. I need you to come this Sunday. Next month, hey, man, you got to come back out. Okay, hey, it's Christmas. I need you to come back out. 3 times. Then point number 3, I need you to encourage that man to join the church. Listen, guys, they'll do it if you ask him. That's how they do it. You got to bring them first. Once you've brought them and they've been exposed to the word, exposed to the fellowship, at some point in your conversation, you got to say, hey, man, I want you to join the church with me. That's point number 3. Number 4, I need you to share with that man, again, at least 3 times something that the Lord or the church has done for you that has changed your life. Okay? In your private time, you have to give this person your personal testimony. 3 things that the Lord has done for you. This happened in 2008. 2012, I never even told nobody this, but this happened. The Lord brought me to it. And just last year, this is what the Lord did 3 times. You're bringing them 3 times, and you're giving your personal testimony 3 times. And then last step, number 5, I want you to encourage that man to give his life to Christ. If you do these 5 things, you'll become a man like Andrew. Now, this is a greater challenge, men, and I can tell by the way you're looking at me. Because as men, it's easy for us to give money. We work. We give money. That's no sweat. We raise that money like that. For men, it's no problem. We need something for the sweat. Yeah, I'll pick it up. As soon as I put it out, men just started snatching. It doesn't take any sweat. We can do that. But now here's the challenge. Will we witness for Christ? We can give money because it doesn't affect us. Yeah, we're a little light in the pocket, but so what? Yeah, we can go out and pick and carry the heavy stuff and do the other. Yeah, that's fine because it's just time. We'll make it up somewhere else. But are you willing to give of yourself? Because think about what it took for you to come to church so you know what you're up against. But if you commit your life to become a man like Andrew and accept this challenge, I'm going to pray, Lord, who is he? Lord, I'm going to pray, give me success that they'll come to church with me this month. Lord, help me next month. I want them to come back. Lord, I need them to come back a 3rd time. This is going to be a challenge, men, to open up and share what the Lord has done for you. Because for some of us, we may not have told anyone. But if you're going to be a man like Andrew told his brother what Christ had done for him. How do we know? Because he went and stayed with him the rest of the day. And in that day, something happened to Andrew. And he went home and told Simon. Said, you got to come. You got to come. This guy has spoken into my life in such a way, you've got to come in here. Bring him to the Lord. Get them in the church, get them in Christian fellowship, and ultimately, we've got to lead them to Christ. How many men are willing to accept the challenge? To be men like Andrew. You've got the assignment, you've got it. I'm going to be praying with you. I'm accepting the challenge as well. This is our assignment. In 6 months, If we bring men into this church, by the end of the year, our church will be entirely different. Watch this, men. If we get serious about it, we could actually have more men in church than women. It can happen. But it'll only happen if we have more men like Andrew. Shall we all stand?